Let's begin with a word of prayer. Let all that we do this morning will be glorifying to God and to Jesus Christ and the power of His Spirit, whom He has graciously supplied each of us with. So let's begin with a word of prayer. How grateful we are, Heavenly Father, for the structure of the church age, where You designed a local assembly for the fellowship, encouragement, worship of believers. We pray that this morning that all that we do will be glorifying to You and to Your Son in the power of Your Spirit. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. On October the 10th, a couple of days ago, but a few years ago, in 1530, William Tracy, T-R-A-C-I-E, you can look him up and read about him, died. Now, the reason I'm bringing him up, 1530, this is what he said in his will and in his teaching. Salvation is by faith alone in Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't sound like much today, but boy, at this time in history, this was reforming. He and Luther were like-minded. Now, what is interesting is that when he died, he said in his will, I do not want a death's mats given over me, because we're not saved by death mass, we're saved by faith in Jesus Christ and faith alone in Christ. Well, let me tell you what happened. The church found out in England, at this time the Catholics still ruled in England, and they found us out. They went and dug him up out of the grave and burned him publicly at the stake. They wanted to be sure he was humiliated for such heretical belief. People, there's so much involved in this, but you have to appreciate our Constitution. And people like Beto and so many of our politicians do not believe in our Constitution. You have to appreciate it. It's a masterful piece of work. It's not the Word of God. I thank God the Holy Spirit inspired much of it. But the first two amendments, which just are unsurpassed in human history. Freedom to bear arms. Freedom of worship. If you want to be a heretic, be a heretic. Have that right. Have that freedom. And for example, today in history, about 1740, I think it was, the state of Massachusetts banned Quakerism. But what I wonder, and I'm just showing you, that's how they came over with these ideas of banning and controlling and manipulating and what they would allow and not allow a person to do spiritually. And with that kind of mentality, we still were able to have a constitution that gave to people the right of their own faith. And this is being challenged today in many different ways. It's been challenged a lot in what preachers are allowed. I think the day will come. I hope I'm home with the Lord. Where preachers will not be allowed to teach in the Bible what it says about homosexuality. Some countries already have this, where preachers are not allowed. And so it's just, we got to appreciate. And might I add, keep in office. People who hold to that Constitution. I would love to hold to the Bible, but they just hold to the Constitution, the first two amendments, and not to mention all the others, is noteworthy. Now, in 1912, a man named George Barnard, who died in 1950, but in 1912, he wrote what some people call the greatest hymn of all time. Others just related in the top five or top three. But let's stand and sing, in memory of George Barnard, The Old Rugged Cross. I know it's not Communion Sunday, but it's such a beautiful hymn. And in just memory of George, who died this week in 1950, but in 1912, he wrote this beloved hymn, The Old Rugged Cross. 4:30.
We say, hey, we're singing and it's worship. And worship has three elements. One, the filling of the Spirit. So let's make sure we're all filled with the Spirit. Second, it's got content. What is it that we're singing, and is it true to the Word of God? And third, it has focus. And where is our focus? On the Lord. So as we sing, regardless of what kind of joyful noise we make, let's be focused on who He is, what this says, and the filling of the Spirit that glorify our Lord in our worship.
I get to be your pianist today.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left His glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then He'll call me someday to my home far away, where His glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
If those that were at our wedding, my nephew sang, if you'll remember, my nephew sang at our wedding, and that was really his first debut other than doing karaoke. Well, today he is singing at Carnegie Hall. Yeah. So, and that was kind of, you know, he just really kind of, I think he was singing somewhere. They had some kind of program in Longview, and one of the men from the East Texas, singers in East Texas heard his voice. And so he said, you should come with us to the East Texas men and sing. So now he is singing solo with the men of East Texas. And it's Christian music in New York, so we're pretty excited.
Can anything good come out of East Texas? You bet. My favorite story of Longview, Texas is many years ago, someone that I like, Hank Williams Sr., who I firmly believe is a believer and in heaven, and if you listen to the Gospels that he wrote almost every one of his own Gospels. You couldn't have written that without the Holy Spirit and being a believer. But anyway, he was singing in Longview, and one of the back guitars that played with him was another one that I like, George Jones. And George said, I missed the opportunity to play with Hank because the moment he opened his mouth, I just stopped playing and listened to him. Couldn't play. So that's my view of Longview. And then my friend from seminary days, Paul Stark, we graduated from seminary, and a little group in Longview called him. And the thing about Paul is that he was an accomplished pianist. He was trained at Juilliard and the great piano school. And I asked Paul if he was playing the piano at his new church. He said, no. And I said, Paul, you've got talent. Play for them. No, I'm a pastor teacher. And, you know, they're wonderful things that Bob Thiem gave us, but there are a few things that maybe were a little overload. And I told him, I said, if I could play like you, man, I'd come in with white suit on every Sunday. I'd have a big chandelier on my piano, and I'd be wailing away. But Paul Stark went home with the Lord early. He died of leukemia. And I've always had few regrets of things that I've said. And he came to Dallas to see a doctor, and he came over to my house, and boy, he looked good and slim. He'd lost some weight. I said, man, I need whatever you got. You look good. And he was later diagnosed with leukemia, and fortunately we laughed about it and said, I don't want what you got. And he's home with the Lord, and that's unfortunate because Paul was a great student of the Old Testament. I mean, his notes were just unbelievable. I've got a couple of books that he made, just very fine note-taking and studying of the Word. And I often wonder sometime why the Lord takes who He takes and leaves some of us that He leaves. But we'll see that Wednesday night. As a matter of fact, the Lord will make a decision to call one of the apostles, James, home, but at the same time, leave Peter to be thrown in jail and then rescued from jail. It's not up to us to decide who the Lord picks and who stays. I still miss James Webb. I miss him a lot. I miss him here. I miss him singing. And I miss his friendship. But the Lord called him home. So that's, can't argue with that. And he's in a much better place. And so Wednesday night will be a good night in regard to just God's timing and how He works to keep those alive He wants alive and those that He wants to come home. There's no way we can fight it. If you're ready, if He's calling you home, you'll go home. Okay, now, off of that moment, let's go to prayer. And first of all, Captain Clark, what's Captain Clark's status, Gigi?
He's still in a lot of pain. He's got to go back on the 24th to see if they get the rest of the cancer
He's
out.
He's in pain.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Captain Clark, Gigi's nephew, was the doctor called him last week, said, come to the hospital now. Do not pass go. Do not do this. Just come. That's an old Monopoly term. Go to right now. And he got there, and they did a major immediate emergency operation on his back spine, removing cancer. They think they got it all, but he's still in pain, so we'll just be in prayer that they did get it all. And the 24th, they'll know what is going on. And then last week, we also were in prayer for Lila's daughter. Lila, how is Leanne this morning? And she'll go in for tests tomorrow? Okay. So we need to be in prayer for Leanne and her lymphoid, and so please be in prayer. And let's see, how's Thomas doing?
Well, he's doing great, but Wednesday he goes in to meet with the oncologist for a full workup, And so I think our prayer needs to be that that they just are taking precautions, and that hopefully they'll just say, let's scan again in 3 months. And if nothing's, so we need to pray that whatever's going on in there isn't growing. He feels great. He, you know, his labs came back. They don't look too bad. So I just pray that, that you know, that nothing's growing in the lungs. If something's growing in another 3 months, when they do that scan, then they'll probably go in and biopsy it. So that's
how's Johnny?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Very good.
My niece is still set to deliver on Wednesday for her triplets, so just pray for her health. Mm-hmm. She's starting to get really tired and in pain. And pray for the health of the baby. So that everything goes well on Wednesday. It's scheduled for like 6 a.m. So.
When is the birth due?
Actually, they'll be 34 weeks, and 34 weeks is full term for triplets, they say. But usually triplets are rarely delivered naturally. They usually have to take them out because of the...
Yeah.
I don't know how mothers care about that. No, but the cool thing is like my niece said, the nurses, she's there by herself because she's 2 hours away from home, and the nurses and doctors are like, I can't believe you don't need the anxiety medicine, or you're not stressing more than you are. And she's like, no, she's got her Bible, she's got the Lord, she's totally trusted God through this whole deal. She wasn't even supposed to be pregnant. You know, so God gave her these babies, she said, and she's just letting God take the real.
Super. Very good. All right, now, any other prayer requests that we need to have? Yes.
Just a note of thanksgiving, the result on my stress test, the cardiologist said everything looks fine.
Good. We need you here, so that's good. All right, yes.
To update on Candace, they're looking to tomorrow to try and recontact some of the doctors that she was at the hospital because she's just not getting better. Her lungs are still very labored. They're still looking for some direction, some answers. So just be in prayer for them.
Is Candace at home?
She is at home, but she is still symptomatic.
Will they take her to the hospital tomorrow?
No, they're trying to just get in touch with the right doctors to see if they can get some wisdom there.
People, let's be in prayer for this young lady. All right. Now, are you going to talk about the camp?
I will. I got a prayer
request. Okay. What's your prayer request?
So, Stephen Bowling. Some of you might know Stephen from, he was one of our counselors at camp for a few years. He went into the hospital Wednesday? This past week. His kidneys are shutting down. And they don't know why. At this point, they're trying.
How old is Stephen?
He's 45, 46,
okay.
He's in that
neighborhood, in
mid-40s.
Yeah.
And great guy, loves the Lord. I mean, just pursues the Lord with all his heart. And just be in prayer. Tomorrow they're supposed to be taking a look and making some decisions if they have to run dialysis. And they need to do a biopsy. They don't know at this point, they don't know at this point what's causing the kidneys to shut down. But he's in the hospital at Medical City Plano.
Okay.
Our medical...
Yeah. All right. We'll be in prayer. Be in prayer for Stephen. God will leave him here. Yes.
I have two more. One, be in prayer for Brian. They're traveling, working on the hurricane situation there.
I was going to ask you about that, yeah.
And as of this morning, they've been stationed in Macon, Georgia, and then driving like an hour and a half to wherever the crews are going.
He's right in the middle of where it is.
They're probably going to move out of Macon, and he's not sure where they're headed next. So just be in prayer for their endurance there.
And safety.
So that would be awesome. And then the other is the family of the Kuhn family. This is a family friend of ours through Mackenzie's drill team. The mom passed out and had sudden cardiac arrest at the high school on Thursday, and happened to be revived through the AED machine donated from Living for Zachary by two of our Liberty campers.
Wow.
This connection is deep and wide in many, many, that's just our family connection. There are several, everybody who I've spoke to completely gives God the credit for all of these people being in place at the right time for the success of this situation. The Coons, Sydney is still under watch at the hospital. There's some virus that has attacked her heart that's caused it to be enlarged. and they are doing a pacemaker defibrillator on Tuesday just to ensure that she's, you know, that whatever's going on, that they can have that quick situation to revive her. So, again, God's working through all of this in our community, and so I just pray that he'll continue to do that, because I love the fact that he's getting the credit.
Good. Be in prayer.
The Winklers are the twins, and the Coons is the family.
Stephen.
Yes.
Several prayers Thanksgiving. My girlfriend Judith has been on the list several times, and she just finished the next round of treatments and is doing really well.
Good.
And then my mom had a terrific hip replacement. She's already back home, and she's already driving.
Wow.
We're having a hard time keeping up with her.
So I got the idea. You take after your mom. You're after your mom. You're after your mom.
Well, and we got to visit the... Incredible. Incredible. In D.C., it is worth it. We were so nervous that it was going to be not well done. It was, we spent the whole day there.
Wow.
It was unbelievable. I highly recommend it.
Extraordinary. And I couldn't figure out, and I asked, who's funding it?
No,
that's true. Whoever funded it and came up with that amount of money to do what they did and has completely blacked out their participation rate has done a phenomenal job. Because
it was accurate. It was moving. Wow. It was amazing.
Yeah. A few things in the world to go see. Go see that Museum of the Bible.
Wow.
I've seen a lot.
Who, and did you find out who's funding?
No. Can't find out who funded it.
Isn't there one coming in Dallas? They're supposed to be building a Museum of the Bible in Dallas.
We've always had that north part.
It was one of the locations that was considered for the museum. Because this has only been open since last November. Dallas was one of the locations. I don't know if we're going to get another one, because they've got some
pieces. It was opening.
The artifacts that they had already collected and placed on viewing, and the aspects of the technology that they put in there. You haven't seen that before.
No, and they had lectures. Oh, my gosh.
Yes, we sat through some...
Was this a one-time
full-time museum there now?
Yeah, Herman, they went in and they bought a piece of property in D.C. to put this museum in. So their first initial financial commitment there was a piece of property in Washington, D.C., which was, you know,
and they have two viewing areas that they want you to go do first. One of them looks right at the Capitol, and the other one looks right at the George Washington Monument.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was amazing. And I finished all my states.
Okay. All her states. Yay. Yay.
Wow. I wish I could
see them. Yes.
One, I got my first knee treatment. It's working great.
Yes.
Thanks for the prayers. The second was a prayer request for the girl, Kaylee, having troubles, teenage problems, and she left home. She's taken up residence with her grandmother in Bonham, but that means as a senior, she left one high school, going to another one. There's a lot of turmoil in her life, and she just needs to turn to the Lord. She may be a believer. She was baptized in the Baptist church, I don't know, 6 years old, something like that maybe. But she's, you wouldn't think she's a believer now, I guess.
I pray for her. I pray that you will have an opportunity for a one-on-one with her. That's what I pray. When I think and pray for her, that's what I pray. Some way, somehow, you'll work it out. You can just have a one-on-one. Okay. Any other prayer requests? Yes.
I got two. One, thanks, Pat. She contacted my daughter and explained the situation with the cancer, and she answered back snotty, but that's a given. And also my friend Dennis Marquette passed away yesterday.
Be in prayer. Did I see a hand over here? Yes.
I have a roasting to make.
Roasting?
Roasting. Well, our very good friend here, Kit, has done a very wonderful job on trying to help converting the content from the .com to the .org, because now we have one big server. And he and Jim did a great job, too, that they were able to notify when that we max out the bandwidth right away. But keep in mind, we just started, you know, barely in a month here for the new website, the location to be in, and we've got 65 countries already come back in, so I hope that by the end of the month, the rest of them, the people who usually won't log in until the last week of the month anyway, would actually come back in as well, and that everything should be fine. Great. So praise the Lord for that.
I'd like to say one more thing about that trip I just took. We went to the National Cathedral, and I was appalled. And I was appalled from three different aspects. First of all, the cost to get into it. It was $12 a head to get into the National Cathedral. Okay. The second was the cost of parking. You're in Georgetown, and Herman, there is no place to park, so you have to use their parking. The third was there was no reverence at all shown by the people who were pouring in crowded groups. Okay.
Yeah.
And just kind of another tour group going through. So you're standing there. That is the preeminent building of our Christianity that we show the world, and it's just being used as
a tourist attraction.
Yeah, that's it. And St. Albans, the schools that are there, and all the grounds are magnificently landscaped. Everything is taken care of.
That's right. You pay $10 to $12 to get in.
Yeah, you're paying your $12 to get in, but then there's not a single. Hey, this is a nice place. This is where our God resides. Okay. Why don't you be quiet and show some reverence? Because if you traveled as much as Martha and I have, there are many places in the world where a scarf and a sign in all languages says, "Shut your mouth." Okay. This is our place. And in ours, it's like, yeah, let's make a buck, roll it through.
Capernaum, outside of Capernaum, there's a area that goes over by the Sea of Galilee. Here's the city, here's the sea, there's a land area here, and there's a big sign. When you go in here, please be quiet. And they just want people to go in and pray and meditate and think about what Christ did at that scene. So, yeah, I agree with you. All right, any other requests? Okay. Last night, in my life, I've done a lot of fun things on Saturday night. A lot of parties and a lot of fun things. But last night was rich. Wealthy rich. We had a meeting to kind of lay out the things that's going to happen with young people in 2019, and so with that introduction, Chris.
So, whoa, really, Cloud. So quickly, a couple of things. One, we got together last night and we had our youth ministry planning session for 2018-19, and talked about a ton of stuff. So I'm not going to go through all of those things, but we started in prayer, and we all got together and held hands together, and we started praying. And I know we don't hold hands in this church, but we do outside of church. So, but it was, I'll just start with, we prayed for such an amazing amount of time and so much energy that by the time we got about three quarters of the way through it, I was holding Jerry's hand, which I promise it was all cool. But we're standing like this. By the time we're about three quarters of the way through, I had to let go of his hand because my shoulders were, and I don't know if yours were shaking, but my arms were burning, man. I'm like, I can't hold like this any longer. Anyway, so that being said, that's not the point. We had an amazing conversations last night. We're going to provide we'll find the appropriate time to provide just an output of the whole thing for the church so you all can see what's going on there and what the plans are. Two things, two requests. So we are, with all of the changes that are going on, we have a tremendous amount of work to do moving locations and trying to pick up and continue to move forward where God wants us to go and expand this ministry. We have a couple of requests for the church. So we have coming up is Veterans Day. We have a great event that first annual was last year. This is our second annual Veterans Day event that's going to be coming up actually on Veterans Day, so November the 11th, which is a Sunday. We're going to have a great afternoon there, and we have some sign-ups. Do you want to talk to that at all, Lori, with regards to
Veterans Day celebration on Sunday, 3 p.m., Allen Celebration Park, where we did it last year. It was a great start. We're hoping to continue to grow that. Larry and Brian will have food out there that people can make donations and buy. We'll have a flag football game for anyone that wants to participate. And we're hoping a lot of youth will come out after we do the veteran service. Phil will be leading our service out there, and then we have the opportunity again for us to recognize veterans. So for $5, you can sign up for a veteran to recognize. We will announce their name. We will recognize each branch of service. Phil will have an individual from each branch to talk a little bit about that branch and to pray for that branch, so we can pray together as a church for that branch of service. I'm going to put some of these in the back, and then Terry will also.
You didn't mention the balloon.
That's
what is that $5 release?
No, it's okay. Yeah. So $5, their name will be announced, and we will release balloons like we did last year. We did red balloons for active duty. So you have three categories. Active duty, that means they're serving right now, and that would be a red balloon that we would release. Retired means 20-plus years, so I did put that on there this time. That was kind of confusing. So people that have served more than 20 years are considered retired, and those would be our white balloons, and then blue would be a veteran, anyone that served any amount of time in the military. So, Julie?
Weston, do you want to put the automated form on the website too? Like last year?
We can do that. Yes. I can give you a link. Okay. I have to update it. Yeah, that will be digital, and we can also manually put it in for whoever's not savvy.
Okay.
What about one for those veterans who are deceased?
This is
a color? Purple?
Black.
In general, this is a Veterans Day celebration, and it's not a Memorial Day celebration.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. So we want to concentrate on those who serve and appreciation of that, and those who have served. If you want to do a Memorial Day celebration, we can do that.
No, but do we? We can still put people that are deceased that have served. Is that
sure?
But okay. One of those colors would.
Just going to distinguish, you know, they might be deceased and have served 10 years, which is considered never retired. So that, these are the three categories we're going to recognize.
And do keep in mind that this is a tremendous fundraiser for us. And we recognize that you have people that you know, but also you will be surprised at the people within your workplace or your friends who would absolutely love us to do this for them. Whether they can attend this event or not, people want their veteran to be recognized and acknowledged. So please share this, and I appreciate you wanting
digital.
To put it online.
Share it. It'll be digital.
Like I said, if you have it digitally, that's the easiest
thing. And for those that didn't come out to the park last year, it was beautiful. Yeah. Just releasing the balloons. It was so patriotic. And it's something worth coming to. It takes a few hours. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
So, Julie, we can get you, it'll have a PayPal, it'll have a link for payment as well as a form to complete.
It's on the form.
Yep. And we would love to have these by November 1st. So we can get Harry and Rick will take care of getting on the balloons and get them ordered. So we need to get that by November 1st. So, any questions?
People, it's a wonderful opportunity to raise children.
Yeah.
And they can learn some patriotism on a first day of basis.
Awesome. If you have any ideas with regards to that, just see Lori after the after our service this morning or at any time, so we can always tweak those things based on ideas. Always open to great ideas. Some of them we ignore and others we move forward with. So that was a joke. The second thing I wanted to talk about, we have two opportunities around Christmas time that are coming up that we would like to find volunteers from the church to help us drive forward. One is we would love to send soldiers. We're going to take up a donation at the Veterans Day event to put together packages for the soldiers for Christmas time. So we've done this in the past. I'm asking for somebody outside of the youth ministry group that's really driving a lot of these things forward with regards to the changes and everything that's going on with camp. I would love to see if somebody would like to step up and own that and move that forward. And then the second one is for the college kids. So we do all of these kids that we see all over the place that are coming back. They're in college. They're out on their own doing whatever it is that God has planned for them to do. And we'd like to continue to support them. I would love to put together packages. Actually, it's probably just a gift card, and take donations for gift cards and bring in cards and sign those and words of encouragement and send those to all these kids for Christmas. So those are the two things we're looking for volunteers. We'd love to have somebody who wants to step up and do that. You don't have to do both of them, but if you want to do one, please let us know. And those are the crazy fun things. Yeah, see Lori as well on that one. So lots of great stuff. I commit to coming back at a time where we actually scheduled it and give you guys a total brief on all the things we have planned and what the financials are going to look like. But we'll do that at a different date so that Herman can actually get some teaching in this morning. So thank you for your time.
I mention something real quickly about Kroger's? Okay. So, for those of you that shop at Kroger's, you know, for years we have a rewards program. The benefits go to the youth ministry. We went from like 15 households, we're only down to 5. One of the downfalls of that is you have to renew. You have to go back in and re-sign up every year. Not sign up, you just have to update it every year. Mm-hmm. And our number has changed. So I've got a flyer here. Okay. Maybe we can get that on the website too. Yep. But so just go in and you just have to click youth ministry again so that we reap the rewards. But yeah, so like 5 households contributed $34 for a quarter. So if we can, you know, let's get that number up. It's free money. We're shopping. It doesn't take away from our fuel points or anything like that. It just, it's, you can put it to an organization. And nothing better than the youth ministry. So. Okay.
That's at Kroger's.
For those that don't have internet or use the internet. Thank you.
John Hintz and I, Pastor Tucson, as you know, we talk every now and then. Some of the handicaps, withdrawals, of a very small assembly like ours. And one of those is the lack or absence of places for ministry. And we both regret that. We both have lost families, wanted to go somewhere where they could minister and serve. I don't know if they did or not, but that's why they left. Some in this church have sought their own. The Dags and the Wises, okay, church doesn't give me anything, I'll make my own. They have loads of teenagers come over once a week. That's a burden. I can't imagine that. And others with our sound system and just different ways. Jeff takes care of our communion and things like that. Here's an opportunity to serve. It's an opportunity to serve the Lord. Work with these young people. Work with Chris Dagg and Wises in getting these things done. And the mail-outs to the military. So, it's not a big deal. You're not out on the front line. But you're serving the Lord. And that's what we want to do. So, it's an opportunity for you to serve. Now, having said that, I was most appreciative and most thankful for your attendance Sunday morning, Wednesday night, for the Grizzlies. I was just shocked and surprised. Very thankful that Larry brought our young people that usually come to her house. She brought them here. And I had calls to sit in the back to work the lights. And I watched them. And I'll tell you what, their concentration was superb. I expected to see nothing. Their eyes, head, stationary, concentrating on what Bill and daughter were talking about, Courtney were talking about. I was just so thankful. But I was so thankful that we came, and they were just so impressed and so pleased. Had a wonderful time. And from Africa, Pakistan, Mexico, let's don't let this just die out now. Let's jump on it. Let's take advantage of it, either with these missionaries or with more missionaries. So we need to broaden our outreach. This is one thing we'll be seeing Wednesday night. We're going to begin Paul's first missionary journey. The church was not Jerusalem. Church was a little church called Antioch, which replaced Jerusalem as the primary church. They're the ones who supported Paul and Barnabas going out, taking the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world. So let's be like Antioch, not dead like Jerusalem, but alive like Antioch in that regard. And with that in mind, let's prepare ourselves for the offertory. All of these things require money in Satan's world, but that is our privilege. To support the spreading of the gospel to both unbelievers and believers. This in mind, let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this humble assembly. But we find such peace in knowing you don't need large numbers. You took Gideon and 300 men to take on over 100,000 invaders. You don't need large numbers. What you need are believers committed to serving you in the power of your Spirit. Father, we pray now that you receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you will continue to use this assembly in the spreading of the gospel. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Okay, does anyone not have the handout, Be Thankful? Everyone have a copy? All right. As I worked on this and worked on looking at what we'll be doing next Sunday, next few Sundays, we've taken a lot of time. We spent one Sunday for each of the virtues that we are to put on as Christians in Colossians 3:12. We've taken our time. And people, I make no apology for that. We rush through these things, you don't know how to live. I want no excuse in any of these things that we've taken a look at. And now we've moved to the three closing commands in Colossians 3, the closing three verses, before he moves into verse 18, which gets into another personal issue, which I will again say some of you are not like. It deals with marriage, submission of the wife, what the husband's responsibilities are. But right now we're in the three closing commands. So let's prepare ourselves for the study of the Word of God by the power of God. Let's spend a few moments to test ourselves, see if we're trusting in the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher. Let us pray. We're so thankful for the Word of God. We're so thankful for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, inspiring writers, from the writer of Job to John in Revelation. We're so thankful for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in protecting these sacred scriptures. But Heavenly Father, if it were not for the illuminating ministry of the Spirit, we still would be no better off. We thank you now for your Spirit. Pray that He will open our eyes to an attitude that should permeate our souls all the time. Thankfulness to you. We pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Okay, we have three concluding commands at the end of Colossians 3:15 through 17. It's by no means the last imperatives in Colossians 3, but Paul seems to pull things together from verse 1, since you have been raised up with Christ. And now he pulls together these three concluding imperatives. One, continue being at peace, given by the Holy Spirit. Let the peace of Christ umpire in your hearts. We studied that last week. This week, continually thankful to God the Father. Now next week, if we finish this, all that we've done, and we've got 21 pages. I don't know, kid. Don't shake. You're like, Jane, you're not going to make it. I might. We might have a miracle. We'll see. If I don't preach and just teach. All right. And the next week, to continue all your life getting to know the teachings about Jesus Christ. All right. Let's take a look now. Continually thankful to God the Father. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ umpire in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. This section of Colossians 3 ends with the three commands. The first one, be at peace. The second, be thankful. Let's look at the word be. We're already slowing down. This is a present active imperative of the Greek verb meaning to become. To become something you were not. It does not mean to be something. It means to become something. Paul is beckoning them to become thankful. And I'm already thankful. I say it every Thanksgiving. Well, that's not the spirit here. See? Well, I thank God every time I eat. Well, I'm glad. I am glad of that. But that's not the spirit here. It's thankful all the time. All areas of your life. The present tense means this to become every day, throughout the day. The active voice, it hits hard at Calvinism. This is not something you are. This is something on which you have to make. You have to make a decision to keep on being thankful. This is not something you are. You make a conscious decision. Now, we're going to look at the doctrine of giving thanks to God. I have learned that what is stated first is generally what is most important and most likely to be remembered. So I want to start off with three primary principles of introduction. One, giving thanks must be taught. This is one of the first and most essential principles of life that a conscientious parent should teach their children to be thankful. Now, you think I'm taking time all day or one Sunday for this one thing? We could spend a month on this. And where I would start, I would go back to Deuteronomy. Over and over, teach your children in the morning, at the afternoon, at night. Make it part of your daily life, teaching them. People, the problem in America today is that the liberals learned a lesson a long time ago and followed through on it. Teach the children in the educational system. Let's control the educational system and let's teach them that socialism, communism is best, not capitalism. And that's what they've done. And that's where our politicians and all these people that are there today, the products of a sound educational system set up by the liberals to destroy the thinking of American people. They're not taught the Constitution. Lawyers are not even taught the Constitution in law school. So we've lost it. Thanksgiving needs to be taught. It's not automatic. It's not in our natural flesh nature. What's our natural flesh nature? I deserve it. I deserve the government to take care of me. It's a government's job to pay my way. It's a government's job to take care of me. All the way through my life. It's not their position to intrude in my life, but it's their job to take care of me in my life. Pay for things. See? So being thankful is not part of our flesh nature. Not part of it at all. And a wise parent will teach their children. Teach your children. This is the little things. Be thankful in little things, big things. You teach them. This in the morning, afternoon, in the evening. You teach them in obvious circumstances, like Christmas and birthdays. But you should teach them this throughout every day of their life. Then, when they become believers in Jesus Christ, they will be thankful to Almighty God, the all-giving God. That's the first thing. It needs to be taught. Secondly, giving thanks to God must be in the power of the Holy Spirit. Many unbelievers are thankful, but not in the power of the Spirit. Many believers are thankful, but not in the power of the Spirit. It gets no higher than the ceiling. We're to be thankful in the power of God the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, things for which you are thankful are the things which you will value in life. If you give thanks of God for your husband, your wife, you will value your husband and your wife day in and day out. If you give thanks for your children, you will value them. If you give thanks for your church, then you will value your church and attend it regularly and support it. If you do not give thanks for your church, then you will not value it. You will not esteem it important to your life. I've got to be at church. But if you don't, it's not that important. Things that we give thanks for daily are things we truly value. me give you a personal example. And I'm sorry, but for many, many years, I didn't thank God for my health. I took it for granted. I'm a 20-year-old, 30-year-old. I got lots of strength, do lots of stuff. Go to the gym, do all this stuff. Now, every day, thank you, thank you. Thank you that I can walk. Thank you that I can sleep. And I mean that. My wife hardly sleeps. I don't know how she gets along. I'm thankful I can sleep. We'll see Wednesday night, Peter. Peter's going to die tomorrow. He's asleep tonight. Then an angel has to come in and wake him up. So Peter and I have that sleep thing. We got to sleep. See? Give thanks. And the things for which we give thanks for, things you value. You value His Word. Thank you for Your Word. Every day when I sit at my desk, that's the first thing that comes out of my mouth. Thank you for Colossians, Acts, 1 Corinthians. Thank you. And thank you for Your Spirit to open my eyes. Got to learn to give thanks in everything. Now let's take a look with those 3 points of introduction. Giving thanks must be taught. Giving thanks to God must be in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the things for which you give thanks for are the things you will value in life. Your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, your church, your work, your health, whatever it is. You'll value it. You won't take it for granted. All right, now let's go through the teachings of Thanksgiving from the Word of God. One, the most inclusive verse on Thanksgiving, in my opinion, is Ephesians 5:20, where we are exhorted to always give thanks to God the Father for all things in the name or authority of Jesus Christ. No, always. Always. Two, giving thanks. Three, for all things. For the bad things that happens. People, I'm sorry. I love Charles Schulz. And the kids were talking one day. And they were suffering. One of them said, Linus, he's a theologian. But that's good. That'll make you better. And Charlie Brown said, better at what? Better at handling the greater problems that are going to come. So it makes us stronger to handle the more problems that will come. But how wonderful is that principle? For all things. For, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. To God the Father. Our prayers are addressed to Father in the authority of Jesus Christ. People, there shouldn't be a day in your life that you don't spend, at the very minimum, 30 seconds thanking God. Every day. Now, it should be a lot more, 30 seconds throughout the day. But you want to train yourself. You have to do this. You have to train yourself to have that Thanksgiving attitude. I love that old woman that reared me. Every Christmas, we had several families we met together. I think there were about 6 families. Good times economically, bad times. All the presents would be there. And I still think back now at my uncles, how they had to give up and be at our grandparents' house at 7 o'clock every Christmas morning. Now that I'm an adult, I don't know how they did it. I do not know how they did it. I don't know why they did it. See? But what was so interesting was we got cookies. Crummy, raisin-packed cookies from Aunt Elsie. We had to give thanks. Tell Aunt Elsie thank you. My mother's right there. Tell Aunt Elsie thank you. Thank you, Aunt Elsie, for the cookies. Thank you. There's just something we were taught. No matter how big or how wonderful. Now we open up and say, hey, thank you! But we learn to give thanks for Raisin Bran cookies, home cooked. That's what we were trained. But you got to be trained. Got to have that attitude. The Greek word thanksgiving, Eucharistia, now this word deserves a couple hours. It comes from in, which means well, or you, and then chrysomai, to give freely. You can see in this word the root word charis, grace. The verb form, caro, means to rejoice, to be thankful, grateful, gratitude for what God has done, what God is doing, or is going to do. As you can see, this is a rich word. It deserves a whole study just in the study of that word. All that the richness that's there. The grace, giving freely, an attitude that should permeate our thanksgiving. So, that's the Greek word that we're thinking about here. Now, Roman numeral 2. Thanksgiving is required of every believer. Whoever you are. Sex, race, poverty, rate, wherever, wealth. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What does God want me to do? Well, let's start off by saying give thanks. What does God want me to go? Let's start off by saying give thanks. That's where you start, with knowing the will of God. You start with an attitude of thanksgiving. In everything, give thanks. This is God's will. This is His will for you in Christ Jesus. Note four things. One, give thanks. Two, in or for everything. Three, this is the will of God. What is the will of God? Well, I can tell you for certain in life that His will for you is to give thanks to Him for everything. Good things, bad things. Kavanaugh was put on the Supreme Court. Christians everywhere, oh, thank God, this is really great. God's in control. Let me tell you something. Had he not been elected on, God's still in control. I hope everyone in this room knows that. God didn't lose control if he didn't get on. So, yes, God's in control, but he's in control had he not. Don't ever forget that. We give thanks for it. But just adding that, God's in control. Yes, he's in control, but he'd be in control if he didn't. God's in control no matter who wins in November. Yes, we have our desires, our prayers, but God's in control. Okay, four, this is His will in Jesus Christ. Not just His will in general, because of your position in Christ. Thanksgiving is not designed for the unbeliever, for the unbeliever refuses to believe in Jesus Christ. Do you think it impresses God that an unbeliever says, thank you, God, for my children, my health, my life, my this, my that? Doesn't impress Him at all. You've turned down my greatest gift. You refused my greatest gift. You think I care that you're thankful for the many little things? Don't care at all. This is my gift. It's for believers in Christ. Also, Colossians 4, 2. You devote yourselves, daily devotion, to prayer, keeping alert in it, keeping alert as to what you are praying. What an with an attitude of thanksgiving. Roman numeral 3. There are a few requirements for bona fide thanksgiving. Thanksgiving that is acceptable to God. First, it must be in the power of the Holy Spirit and from a grateful heart. Roman numeral 4. We are to give thanks for all things. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, which we just read. Ephesians 5:20. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. One, always, at all times. You know that seems to always be coming up. For everything. For everything. Got my medical report. Doctor says I have cancer. Immediately, you're on that. What are you going to do? Fall apart? Cry? Start thinking of all the horrible things? Or number one, are you immediately going to go to God in prayer? Okay, God, I've got cancer. What are your plans? Take me home. To me, death is gain. Doctors, this, that, what do you want me to do? Go to Mexico and get some person there to pray? What do you want me to do? Standard? Holistic, what do you want me to do? It's you and me, God. You gave me this body. You've allowed cancer to come. What do you want me to do? It's up to you. And that decision, generally, it can be made later, But how great it is, right then, the moment you get that news, you have cancer. You can fall apart, or you can calmly sit there and say, okay, God, what do you want to do? What do you want me to do? You're in control here. Lead me. Guide me. See? It's up to you. Always. At all times. Two, giving thanks even if we do not understand. We're to give thanks. Why? His plan is in progress. And we may not understand His plan. I don't know what you're doing now. I don't know why my wife, my child, has this disease, had this wreck, has this... I don't know what you're doing. I don't have to know. I have to trust you. That's one of the most important things I learned as a person devoted to the study of this book. I don't have to understand everything. In fact, I'm not to understand everything. There are a multitude of things. Just trust me. And I beckon you to do that. Just trust me. The Word of God. Study to show yourself to prove unto God. We study the Word of God so that we can know it. But people, that doesn't mean you're going to know everything. Trust Him on those things you don't know. Three, for all things. Things we do not understand what's going on. But we have to have an attitude from the knowledge of the Word of God and from the power of the Holy Spirit to give thanks. It is amazing how God can turn seemingly bad things into wonderful blessings. In Acts, the spreading of the church was primarily because of persecution. We see that and we'll continue to see it. Always giving thanks for all things. I don't understand, but I thank you. And I thank you for nothing else, knowing I have peace, that no matter what happens, I'll go home with my Savior. How could that be bad? Four, give thanks in the name, the authority of Jesus Christ, our Savior, His Son. Here you have to understand the intimate relationship between God the Father and His Son. Our thanksgiving comes through or on account of His Son. So if nothing else, thank you that I'm in Christ, that you bless through that ray. Five, to God. Thanksgiving is addressed to God the Father. This does not minimize Jesus Christ. Please remember, this is why Jesus Christ came to earth. He came to earth to reveal the Father and to bring us to the Father. Please don't ever forget that. That's why Christ came. He came to take us to the Father, reveal the Father, and take us to the Father. He is our Father because of our relationship with Christ. Baptism of the Holy Spirit into Jesus Christ. And now we share the sonship of Jesus Christ. Remember that all through the Old Testament, they knew Him as Father. They never prayed to Him as Father. Check out the whole Old Testament. They didn't pray, our Father. We do in the church. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. We're in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was His Son. Jesus Christ called Him Father. We call Him Father because of Jesus Christ. Give thanks to God the Father in the power of the Holy Spirit and the authority of Jesus Christ. Point five, giving thanks for all things. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Ephesians 5:20, but also coming up in the study of Colossians, Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do, whatever you say, or deed, whatever you physically do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, there go sins. Do it in the name and authority and the will of Jesus Christ. He's our Lord, who takes us to our Father, God, who give and give thanks to Him through Jesus Christ. Remember, the Holy Spirit is, this is 2 Corinthians 5, the Holy Spirit is our Father, our Lord, who takes us to our Lord Jesus Christ, who in turn takes us to our Lord God the Father. All three are your Lord. The Holy Spirit is your Lord, takes you to Jesus Christ as your Lord. Jesus Christ is your Lord, who takes you to God the Father as your Lord. All three are called your Lord in the Scripture. So, thanksgiving is addressed to the Father. I know there are people who think they are really spiritual because they give thanks to Jesus. Christ prayed to pray to Jesus Christ. But people, Scripture is clear. We give thanks to God the Father. It's very clear. Give thanks to the Father. Roman numeral 6. Here is the one that may escape you. We give thanks for one another. We should daily give thanks for husband, wife, children, parents, friends, believers at the church. Often Gerald Weber in Houston tells me to express to you his thanksgiving to you that he has access to our studies in the Word of God. Don Becker in Iowa does the same thing. Asks me to express to you his thanksgiving that you supply the internet that Jim Langston and Julie Cooper and Kit and others work on to be sure it goes out. They're thankful, and they express it to me to get to you. Thankful that you care enough and desire that they learn the Word of God. Also, 1 Thessalonians 1:2, we give thanks to God always for you, believers, making mention of you in our prayers. More than just giving thanks, but intercessory prayer for them. 1 Thessalonians 1:3, constantly bearing in mind, while in prayer, your work of faith, labor of love, steadfastness of hope in your Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God, even Father. 1 Thessalonians 1:4, knowing, brethren, beloved by God, His choice of you. For our gospel did not come to you in word only. Now he gives thanks for their response to the gospel, but also in the power, even in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your benefit. Verse 6, you also became imitators of us and of the Lord, have received His Word, the Word, in much tribulation, with joy of the Holy Spirit. People, just read church history every morning. There is not a day that goes by that someone at some point in history hasn't been a martyr because of their belief, because of their love of the Word of God, because of their love of Jesus Christ, their love of the truth of the gospel. Somebody has been martyred every day in church history, and more are being martyred in the 20th and 21st century than in all the church age combined. I learned that at the Voice of the Martyrs a couple of weeks ago. That's amazing, people. People are dying because of their faith in Jesus Christ. We have a little sign in our kitchen. Don't boast something to the effect of don't boast that you'd follow, you'd die for Jesus when you can't even make it to church on Sunday. See? That's the idea. How important is it to your life? Verse 7, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For this reason, verse 13 now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the Word of God, the Gospel, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the Word of men, but as for what it really is, the Word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. Give thanks for their salvation. 2 Thessalonians 1:3. We ought always to give thanks to God for you. Let me just stop. What's this about? It's about you giving thanks for other people in this room. You don't have somebody to pray for? Pray for Chris Day. Pray for Laura Day. Pray for Larry Wise and Brian Wise as they work with your young people. Pray for them. Slam Camp's coming up. Pray for Phil. Teaches there. Pray for others in this church. Pray for them. Thank God for them. Thank God they come. This room would be emptier if they didn't. Thank God Brian Cooper came forward and he's singing. Thank God for everyone in this room. By name. I do. Thank Him. So 1 Thessalonians 1:3, we all ought, our obligation, always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged, and we studied what that means, and the love of each one of you toward one another grows even greater. Faith doesn't grow. You know that. The grain of mustard seed is always the standard that saved you for all eternity. It will save you through cancer, divorce, trouble, sickness, whatever's going on in your life. All he's looking for is a grain of mustard seed. Then what does it mean? Your faith grows greater. Again, I use a simple illustration. You have five areas of your life. God wants all five. You've trusted him on four. You're holding out on one. That little peak, that's mine. I've allowed one area of my life that's my business, God. Alcohol, gambling, porno, whatever it is, this is my little area. I'm allowed it. No, I want all. I want you to trust me in every area of your life. That's how your love grows. Love is a force. Love grows in magnitude. Okay, 2 Thessalonians 1:4. Therefore we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in midst of your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. Point 7. Give thanks to God for his answers to your prayers. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing. First note the preposition for. There is no preposition in the original manuscript. Nothing, be anxious. Not for or in. But this covers everything in life. We are not to be troubled about politics, wars, elections, what's happening in America, moral decline, and all of these things going on. Whatever's happening in our own lives, financial, health, marriage, nothing. Be anxious. Worried about, troubled about. Now comes the big question. Why not? Things are falling apart. Why not be anxious? But in contrast to being anxious, but in everything, that is especially in reference to these things which you would be anxious about, be ready here. If you are not anxious about these things, people will think you don't care. Think something is wrong with you. But in your soul, you know why you're not anxious. But people look at, don't you care? Why do you take this so... You just look, you don't even care. I do care. I'm trusting my Savior. By prayer and supplication. What is the difference between prayer and supplication? First, note the conjunction translated and, which seems to be saying by prayer and by supplication. Let me tell you about the conjunction and. The Greek word kai takes up 4.5 columns in one Greek lexicon I have. And people, we're talking about little print, double column, and it takes up 4.5 columns in a Greek lexicon. It conveys unbelievable different meanings. Here, emphatic, especially, specifically, by prayer, specifically, supplication. This Greek word describes a certain category of prayers. The Greek word means to make known one's particular need. In classical Greek, it was used of a prisoner's request for freedom, as well as to deities. It means more than just a simple request. So here in Philippians chapter 4, it refers to a category of prayer where we make known to him a specific supplication of things really going on at that time. Philippians 4:6, revised. Nothing, be anxious, but in everything, by prayer, and specifically supplication, not known what our mental attitude should be, even in difficult times. That's what's now being revealed. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, your Father. I am so sorry where we are in America that a multitude of fathers are not fathers. They abuse their daughters, abuse their children, neglect, concerned about themselves, just take care of themselves. But God is a gracious Father. Always remember that. You could go to Him. You could go to Him with your request. It could be a little bitty request. You think it's silly? Father, I can't find my keys. I've got to go. I got to get to church. I can't. Please help me find my keys. And boom, there they are. I'm sorry, I believe that. Father, major issue going on. Here's my request. Big, he's your Father. He's your Father. Go to Him. Request things of Him. You see, people, when you pray to God with a mental attitude of thanksgiving, things happen in our souls. We're not focused on our difficulties, but we're focused on God, who can do something about them. When you let God know your supplication with thanksgiving, note what happens in your souls. Verse 7, and now we have the result use of the conjunction chi, and now the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We live in a time people want psychiatrists, psychologists, Christian counselors. People, this book is the greatest book for understanding human nature. Why a teenager rebels against their parent and will not come back. Why a teenager rebels and will come back. Why they will return, why they will not return. What I should do, what I shouldn't do. How to have peace in difficult times. This book will tell you how. And here this verse tells you, nothing be anxious, but in everything, by prayer, specifically supplication, with an attitude of thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and then, and now, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts against dismay, and your minds in Christ Jesus. Guard against who or what? Against anxieties, against worries, against falling apart, against stress, against sad, stress, anxiety, depression, and keep you in peace. Yep, people won't think you care, but I don't care. You know what's going on in your own soul. You have peace with God. This is what you do when you get into the Holy Spirit, when you're in His power, and you make your supplications to Him with thanksgiving. And that brings us to Roman numeral 8, and kids, you're right, we didn't make it. So we're going to close at Roman numeral 8, and we'll pick it up at Roman numeral 8 next Sunday morning and get into the third and final command of these three commands. So let's close in a word of prayer. Well, Father, thank you, we didn't get through. That's where we'll start next week, being thankful to you. Father, I thank you for this assembly. We had wonderful prayer requests. Steve, parents, friends, daughters, family members. We've raised all these prayers to you, thanking you that you have the opportunity to reveal your glory again. And we rest assured that your plan will come to fruition. Father, thank you for our study. I pray that your Spirit will use these principles of thanksgiving and plant them on all of our souls every day to be thankful to you from morning till night for all that you are and all that you do and your grace and love. I pray, Father, your Spirit could use these things to the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.